everyone. Our World Bank EdTech team is speaking with educators globally to learn how they're innovating during COVID-19. Today, you're listening to a conversation with Sesame Workshop, interviewed by World Bank team member Sharon Zakaria.
Hi, Danny. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Sharon Zakaria. I work on the Global EdTech team at the World Bank. And today we are joined by Daniel. Danny, who is going to tell us a little bit about what he does at Sesame Workshop and how that's different from Sesame Street.
Yes. Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much to you and to everyone at the World Bank and to everyone watching and listening. I'm Danny Laban. I'm the Vice President of International Projects at Sesame Workshop. And Sesame Workshop is the nonprofit organization that is based in New York and has been creating Sesame Street now for 50 years. Sesame Street is our most famous production and is the program that launched 50 years ago and is now seen in more than 160 countries around the world, and is so much more than just a television program. It is also an educational initiative and a platform for social impact and for early childhood development in multiple countries around the world where we work on a localized level to produce the program.
Fabulous. So Danny, if you can start by telling us about the host of resources that Sesame Workshop has put out there and how folks who are working with education ministries, people in the countries, how can they use these resources right now to enable remote learning during this COVID-19 period?
Sure. Sesame Workshop has been addressing themes of health and hygiene, socio-emotional lessons around coping and resilience. These have been part of Sesame Street programs around the world for many years. So when the COVID-19 pandemic was declared, we had the ability to really access hundreds of segments from previous Sesame Street productions around the world. And that really served as our initial foundation to be able to make that content accessible to children and parents and caregivers who were looking for that content in languages that we had it available. But we also recognized that the COVID-19 response was unique in many ways and that the messaging needed to relate specifically to the pandemic. So we decided that we would create a series of short animated public service announcements specifically around messaging that was focused on hygiene and hand washing related to the COVID-19 response. So those messages now have been adapted into more than 20 languages and are airing on broadcasters in more than 40 countries around the world. And we're now building on that approach with original content that is going to be broadcast as part of a family special and all sorts of other exciting things that we're doing right now. In real time, the production is taking place.
Fabulous. Can you talk us a little bit about what are the good practices around ensuring that students are engaged in learning? Because you have 50 years of experiences of engaging kids.
We do. And we really know that if kids are going to learn, they need to be engaged. Engaging content is not a nice to have. That it's really the necessary stepping stone to ensuring learning outcomes. And actually, I think the founder of Sesame Street, Joan Ganz Cooney, 50 years ago, summed it up so succinctly and so eloquently when she said, if children aren't watching, they're not learning. And it's really as simple as that. So we are highly focused on really adhering to a process around production that helps to ensure that what we're creating really, really resonates with our 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-old audience. They're the harshest critics. They are the ones who, if they're not engaged, they will change the channel. They will simply walk away. So we need to make sure, especially in an increasingly competitive media world with so many options, more than ever before, that we at Sesame Workshop are creating content that kids want to see, that makes them laugh, that makes them smile, that makes them sing along, that makes them want to come back and see their furry friends, Elmo and Grover and Abby Cadabby and all of the international characters who are part of the Sesame Street experience in different ways for kids around the world.
Can you also talk about another very important piece of successful education television programming, which is the caregivers, especially for the younger kids that the age groups that Sesame works with? So can you talk about what Sesame Workshop is doing right now to support caregivers in this process? And also from your experience of having worked with caregivers and students, children before, like what are the advantages of leveraging caregivers in student learning?
So we know really, really clearly that if we want the learning games to extend into everyday practical experiences that children have, that the experience needs to extend beyond just the screen, beyond just the viewing. And that's where the role of parents and caregivers is so integral to everything that we do. Whether it's from the actual production of our Sesame Street content, where we're looking, of course, through the eyes and through the lens of our preschool audience, but we're also very mindful to ensure that the content resonates on some level for parents as well, whether that's through parody or whether that's through the engagement of celebrities in our content, something that's almost a wink or a nod for parents to also be watching, because we know that when parents and children watch together, the opportunity for additional learning is so great. That's never been more true than it is right now during the COVID-19 pandemic, where children are home in so many cases with their parents, whose role as caregivers has expanded exponentially given the scenario that so many people around the world are facing right now. And so we're creating more content specifically for family viewing than ever before. We have a special that just aired in the U.S. last week called Elmo's Playdate, which was designed to be a family special for caregivers and children to watch together. And we're going to be creating, thanks to the very generous support of the LEGO Foundation, an international version of a family special that focuses on learning through play. Playful learning has been such a key component of Sesame Street. Sesame Street is by definition playful, but a very concerted focus on that and how to bring playful learning to caregivers, to educators, to parents in a much more deliberate way has been a real focus of our work over the last, I would say, 5 years or so. In part, given our partnership with the LEGO Foundation, but also really trying to make learning accessible to kids and engaging parents in that effort, and really aligning with the nurturing care framework and some of the other advances in ECD that have just underscored the significance of parental and caregiver engagement in the early years of children's development.
Can you talk a little bit about now how you are currently working with governments and partners to reach educational television programming to low resource, low connectivity settings? So if you can give us examples of how you're currently doing that during the school closure period.
Part of our success right now of being able to reach children through existing structures has been really, really dependent on our strong foundation of partnerships that we had going into the COVID-19 pandemic. And because our international programming is really predicated on engagement from the initial incipient stages of content creation, or even from establishing a program, working together with ministries of education, with health ministries, with other relevant government bodies, that in many cases we have those relationships already built in to the Sesame model in different countries. I think Bangladesh is a really wonderful example. We air on multiple channels now, but one of those channels is the government channel, the national BTV, Bangladeshi television. And what makes the broadcast possible is a tripartite relationship that we have with Bangladesh's Ministry of Women and Children that actually helps to support the airtime fees and the carriage fees, enabling the Bangladeshi adaptation of Sesame Street, Sesame Port to air. So So that's just one example. Every country looks different. In South Africa, we work hand in hand with the Department of Basic Education, the DBE. In Mexico right now, we're collaborating in some really exciting ways with the Ministry of Education to help distribute our content through their channel.
Can you talk now about complementary approaches that are being used to strengthen the impact of Sesame Workshop as an education television program, especially focused on low-resource, low-connectivity settings?
You know, I think most people, when they think of Sesame Street, think of a television show, because that's how Sesame Street began. But really, we very firmly adhere to a conviction that we are platform agnostic. That really, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's mobile technologies, whether it's the provision of direct services in learning centers or in community events, these are all different ways that Sesame Street content finds expression. And it's usually a combination of these different touch points that is so critical to reinforcing the messaging. And I say usually because, you know, every country and every place is different, but our driver is trying to establish as many of these different touch points as possible so that the messaging can really resonate in different ways. And we also know that it's likely that no one child will be exposed to every touch point. And we also know that not every child responds to every touch point. So in being able to really think about visual and audio and experiential stimuli, these are all different ways that from an integrated ECD approach, we're really able to tackle some of these big content areas and break it down across different platforms.
If you can now talk about some of the challenges, the realities of the situation, the challenges that you are facing in using this content as educational television programming across countries.
There are huge challenges. The way that Sesame Street is typically produced, the television program, is really impossible at the moment. We're not able to go into the studio. We're not able to do many of the things that we typically do on the set of a Sesame Street program. But where we've found challenges, we've also really, really tried to find some creative solutions that have enabled us to do things that we would not, I don't think, even have believed were possible before COVID-19. And I think a great example of that is our family special that just aired in the U.S. last week in mid-April across 10 different channels, including all of the PBS affiliates in prime time. And we filmed it much the way that anything is being filmed right now, which is basically everyone filming it at home, in some cases on their own mobile phones. And we put that together to form a Sesame Street special where the interface and sort of the production format looks very much like a Zoom call. Not only were we able to do that quickly and within all of the constraints around production at the time, but it also proved to be a much more cost-effective way of producing content. So I actually think this experience, as difficult as it's been for so many people, that there will come out of it some ingenuity around how to create content that responds to needs in an emergency. We're really trying to stay focused on those opportunities so that we can reach more people in real time with this kind of messaging.
Turning challenges on their head into opportunities, absolutely fabulous takeaway there. What advice do you have for countries as they begin to very quickly in these testing times right now think of either starting or enhancing education television during these school closure periods, and maybe how they should be thinking and planning beyond just the short term henceforth for this content that they put together right now in the short term?
Yes. So it was interesting because in your question, you just used the term testing and used it in the context of testing times. But it really made me think about the testing and the research that goes into creating Sesame Street and that goes into ensuring that indeed there is the level of engagement required to sustain viewership or attention, which then is such a prerequisite for any sort of educational impact or learning outcomes. So I would really urge, especially during these times when it's so tempting to want to do things quickly, but I would urge people not to abandon the sort of rigor that research provides. And that doesn't mean that research models should be adhered to with the same level of vigilance that they might be adhered to in regular times. Just as we've shifted our production model in order to be flexible enough to respond to being able to produce material at this time, we've also shifted our research model. The success of anything that happens now, especially for the long term, as you mentioned, is really going to be so tied with ensuring that what we do now really works, and really works for young kids.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time, Danny, today. And I think one big thing that I'm going to close with is just if more and more folks around the world are able to see challenges that we are all faced with right now as opportunities, I think we'll be able to reach so many more students and have so many more kids learning and happy during these incredibly hard times. So thank you so much for your time, Danny. I really appreciate it. It's been a great learning opportunity for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon, and thank you to the World Bank, and thank you for bringing together so many different organizations and individuals who are really committed to making collective impact and using media to do that. And I don't think there's ever been a time, certainly in my lifetime, where the potential for media to make a difference has been this great. And so we are ensuring that this moment doesn't pass us by, and that we don't sit idle, but that we really, really galvanize around how to take advantage of the role that media is playing in children's lives right now, and to be there for them with content that can make a difference, both in the short term and in the long term, for long-term learning outcomes.